we stand, let us pray. God, may your word be spoken from heaven and find a home in our hearts because of the living word, Jesus, who lives there. Amen. Please be seated. To invite Ezric to come forward. During Lent, I'm going to ask different people to share their testimony, a little story of God in their life. And it's not little, because God has an impact on our lives every day. And sometimes there are more moments that stand up more than others. And I've asked Ezric to share some of that. Cool.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Just going to give a little short testimony here. During my visit to Dallas, Texas, to spend Christmas with my brother and his family, my brother decided to take me to visit the town of Tyler. On my way to Tyler, the weather conditions change, so as the road conditions. The car we were traveling went out of control, heading towards a tractor trailer on the other side of the road. I felt helpless and scared. The car ended up in a ditch. I spent several days in the hospital. On my return to Canada, I decided I will serve the Lord. I knew it was a divine intervention that saved us. I thank God this experience, because it's brought me closer to Him. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, I wonder how your Ash Wednesday went. It was Valentine's Day, and it was Ash Wednesday. How did you handle that? Was it mostly Valentine's and chocolate, or did we get some fasting in? Was it? Some of you came to the Ash Wednesday service, which is great. So, it's kind of a toss-up as to where you're going to go with that. Throughout Lent, we have the opportunity to be more disciplined and intentional about our spiritual life. It's an opportunity. It's a real... We can set real goals for ourselves during these 5 or 6 weeks. Some people will attend the study on Wednesday night. Some of the fellows are going to come on Saturday morning. Perhaps you might want to dust off your New Testament or your Bible and read next week's Bible reading before you get to church, as I'm making that challenge to the fellows. And you might want to listen to, if you miss a Sunday, listen to one of the sermons online. ChristChurchOshawa.org, we have all our sermons right there. If you didn't know that, you can listen to an audio file and listen to one of the sermons. It might be that you want to practice some prayer, fasting, and it might be fasting from your carbon footprint, as it were. Maybe you want to walk to the store instead of drive, that kind of a thing, something simple, if you're able to do that. It might be almsgiving, as we said in the song, something that you have chosen not to eat, chocolates or chips or something like that, and use that money to help somebody. So just practical things like that, that you can live your way into Lent. The idea of that, of course, is to draw near to Jesus because of the kind of lifestyle that he lived. So here we are in the beginning of this adventure. I know the Olympics are halfway over, but our 6 weeks are just beginning here as we move into the season of Lent. I don't know you very well, so I don't know whether any of this makes any sense for you, that actually sort of being intentional about Lent is something that's important to you. But some of you will be on holidays, some of you will miss a Sunday here and there. Don't beat yourself up. You know, be good to yourself. Lent isn't just about deny, deny, deny. It's about learning to follow and live like Jesus, and to do so in an intentional way with some of these suggestions that I'm making. The introduction to the Gospel of John from Eugene Peterson, who is a translator of the Bible, says two very interesting things that are related. The first thing Eugene Peterson says in this introduction to the Gospel of John is he says that God speaks the world into existence with his word. God spoke the world into existence with his word. So let me ask you, do you know what Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says? The very first verse of the Bible. I'm going to challenge our biblical illiteracy. I'm going to challenge you, because we should know this. The very first verse of the Bible. Yes, God made the world. Yes, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Thank you, Ron. So I know this is not a Bible class. It's a worship service, so I don't mean to put you on the spot. But, you know, we need to look at who we are and the word and its foundation for us, the narrative of the Bible from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. So here's an opportunity. So Eugene Peterson says, God speaks the word into existence. Here it is in Genesis. In John's gospel, which is the focus of this meeting Jesus in John, the Bible study we're doing on Wednesday night, and our Sunday sermon series, meeting Jesus in the Gospel of John, John's gospel opens with the following words. Do you know what those, John chapter 1, verse 1 is? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it sounds there's a parallel between the very first book of the Bible, which is God speaking the world into creation, God speaking with his word. And John, talking about the word made flesh, who's that? Jesus. And Jesus is speaking salvation into reality. God speaks creation, Jesus speaks salvation. Because as you and I know, life ain't a straight line. It's crooked, and it's up and down, and it's full of evil things that happen not just in Florida. I heard at the 8 o'clock, at the 9:15 service, there was someone who knows, whose daughter was a teacher there and wasn't hit, but was in the class, in the school when it was happening. Someone from Oshawa. Daughter teaches in that school. So it's never that far away, is it? What prowls around us. So we need to arm ourselves with good, with goodness, with God. We need to arm ourselves for good. Do you know what I'm saying? You don't need a license for that. You don't need to have a Master of Divinity or a doctorate for that. You and I are intelligent people, and we can equip ourselves. Isn't that one of the words up here? Equip ourselves with God's word and with God's spirit. If you're not in a relationship with God, or if you're not really knowing who God is, or God is just something that's on your head, then I'd love to talk with you about that. Because that is a journey too, a journey from the head to the heart of really learning to follow Jesus, who showed us the way of love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, John describes God, and he says, God is something. Do you know what, fill in the blank? God is 1 John 4. God is candy? Chocolate? Bunnies? No. God is love. God is love. Now, the Beatles would say, love is God, and God is love, and you put a kind of back and forth like that. But the Bible says God is love. So if we're looking at this whole understanding of meeting Jesus in the Gospel of John through the season of Lent, today is the first Sunday of Lent, and we're looking at John 1 John 4, 7, which says God is love. Let me elaborate on just a little bit. The Bible has... anthropologists in the north of Canada, people who study cultures and study languages, linguists, tell us that the Inuit have many words for what? Snow and ice. Because they live for 11 and a half months of the year with snow and ice. So they're very particular about the kind of words they say in Inuktitut. Because they live with it. It's an important thing. They need to know what it means. They're hunting. They need to. They're surviving. Their survival depends on knowing if that ice you can walk on it, or if a seal can walk on it, but the human can't. They have a word for that. So Christians have several words for love based on what the Bible says. C.S. Lewis talks about that in his book, The Four Loves, and he says there's four kinds of love, words for love, and they are storge, which is parental and child love, family love, if you will. Then there's friendship love, which is like the city of brotherly love, philos. And then there's erotic love, which is intimate, close contact between a husband and wife, and ideally. And then there is agape love, which is divine love or God's self-giving love. To go a little deeper, Gary Chapman, who is himself a cultural anthropologist and has studied cultures from around the world, in his book, The Five Love Languages, says that there are, in fact, five ways that humans give and receive love across cultures and across time. He describes these five love languages like this. He says that people give and receive love by words of affirmation, words of affirmation. So, have you had any words of affirmation this morning? You just heard from Ezric. Maybe you received that as a positive word, that God came into his life, and maybe that was a blessing for you. Words of affirmation. We know how important words are, because if you say some things that are negative or putting down, if you've heard derisive comments most of your life, you might have kind of a negative self-image. And it might be so bad that it could threaten the very existence of your well-being, your physical and emotional health. So words are very important. So these three words, God is love, we've elaborated. God is agape, a self-giving love. And we as humans need to have words in our lives that reflect something of a positive nature of who we are, God's beloved creatures. So words are the first one Gary Chapman talks about. Then he talks about gifts, acts of service, quality time, and touch. Most cultures have, most of these have these five love languages. And if you never thought about this before, it is kind of interesting. If you like to give gifts, if you like to randomly buy something and give it away, maybe that says to the people around you that you like to receive gifts too. If you are a person who likes spending quality time with your dog, with your aunt, with, I don't know, members of your family, it's family day weekend, you like spending quality time, that maybe that's one of the ways that you really feel loved. Maybe it's acts of service. You don't particularly say a whole lot. You like to be behind the scenes. You like to do things for people that are a blessing. And that says, I love you. Or it might be that touch is important to you, and that helps affirm your sense of being loved. These are words to describe this word of love so that we might not just be affirmed as human beings, but be affirmed as followers of Jesus. Let me explain how that could happen. Let's say a husband's main love language was his sense of touch, and perhaps that was a primary and secondary. It might be words, for example. And so he likes to be touched, and he likes to receive words. And the wife's love languages are different. She likes quality time and acts of service. So if the guy was not very intuitive, he might always be looking for good, nice words from her, and she's looking for him to clean the toilet. And when a guy kind of wakes up to this, or the woman wakes up to him, when you realize the kind of love that God invites us to as human beings, but as people who are learning to follow Jesus, that the kind of love that you want to show to the other person might not be your kind of love. It might not be yours. It might not make you feel particularly good. So love is a choice to step out of your own comfort and to do something or say something to somebody else that's going to speak into their love tank, going to fill them up. Does that make sense? So that's the spiritual part. That's the going beyond outside of your comfort zone thing. It doesn't make you feel good. Perhaps, well, maybe in some measure it does, because you see the effect it has on the person that you're doing it for. I like a clean toilet. I mean, don't you? And that says I love you better than... Anyway, you kind of get the idea. The words, John says, God is love. This connection that Eugene Peterson makes of it, that it's parallel to the God speaking creation and Jesus speaking salvation, these are words you don't want to walk away from. You don't want to walk away from those words, because they minister to us in a very deep way. So I would suggest we turn to somebody near you and say, we don't walk away from those good words. We don't walk away from those good words. Mike? We don't walk away from those good words.
We don't.
Yes, God is love. But unless you understand something of the content of it, it's agape love, it's self-giving love, and we want to walk with God, then we're going to do that same kind of, we're going to walk in that kind of love, in the agape love, beyond just the brotherly, sisterly, family, or perhaps erotic love as husband and wife. We want to walk into the agape love. We want to walk into that love that might just be a blessing to someone else. In the church family, it might be somebody, a co-worker, that's appropriate for them, right? You might want to, it would really bless them. They really feel like their love tank is filled up because you actually understood who they are and what they need to feel loved. And if they feel loved, they're not going to feel lonely. If they feel loved, they're probably not, it might peel back a layer that would lead toward a racist or a violent action. It might. Because you noticed that what they were looking for was the kind of love they could understand, the language they could understand it in. So that's part of the content of our message today, that God is love, agape, and that we can walk in those five gifts and perhaps be instruments of loving others with our words, perhaps with our gifts, our quality time, acts of service, or touch that would be appropriate to the people around us. Want to read more about it? Gary Chapman is the author of the book. And next time that I have opportunity to speak, because I believe the bishop is preaching next week, so March the 4th, I'll be here again to talk, and I hope you will be, to talk about the next of the five gifts, which is the five love languages, which is gifts. If you have any questions, please let me know. If you would like me to come over for a cup of tea, a beer, or watch the game, please call me. I can't get to know you all at once. I've been trying to go to all the committee meetings and all the groups and all the ministry groups as I can to try and, on an organizational level, prior to the vestry meeting. But I'd love to hang out, you know, just, I hope I'm not that scary. I'm just a normal guy who likes the Leafs. They lost last night. So you forgive me for that, for those who are Montreal fans. May it be true of Christ Church that people notice because they see how we love one another. Thanks be to God.